Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Tzadik Gimel. We started the sixth parak yesterday, parak Amoch HaPeirus, and we are in the sugya that came up yesterday, machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether holchin b'mamon achar harov. Rav seems to say that we are holich achar harov, and that's why if I sell an ox, and we're not sure if it was sold to shecht or sold to plow, so we could assume that it was sold to plow, because that's what most people do, and therefore it will be a mekachtos if it's a wild ox. But Shmuel said, no, ain't holchin b'mamon achar harov. That was the sugya yesterday, right before the two dots. The Gemara said on Tzadik Beis Mabez, Shmuel amalacha, ki azlina b'mamon, you go after the rove by isurim and not by mamonis. So the Gemara now is trying to come up with rayas one way or the other for Rav or for Shmuel. We're going to start on the bottom, four lines from the bottom, I'm Tzadik Beis Mabez, but first just two notes on the sugi in general of Ein Holcha B'mamon Achar Harov. Number one, Rav Soloveitchik noted in his Yartzeit Shir about shtaris, we mentioned this in the past, and that is somebody has a shtar and says that Reuven owes me money. I bring the shtar to Beis Din. So, what about the principle of what if he says, "I paid you already"? I paid you already. So, we discussed earlier on Daf Ayin. I think it was that there's a principle called Shtar Chaviyadi My Boy, where he could say, "What the person who has the shtar could say, well, why do I still have your shtar? You know, you should have gotten it, taken it away when you paid." So the Rav Soloveitchik developed the idea based on earlier Achronim that a shtar not only is a raya for what happens, but the magical power of a shtar is that it keeps talking as you're using it, so to speak. It's the shtar says, I am kosher. The shtar testifies about itself that I am not paid up, because most people, you know, people don't pay up within the time. That's the sugi you had way back earlier on Daf Hei Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. People don't pay up. Chazaka ein adam parach b'toch zmano. So Rav Soloveitchik says, Rav Shechter quotes this in Eretz Tzvi on page Kufnun Vav as well, that 1 minute, according to Shmuel, ein holkin b'mamo nacha harov. So how do we know this whole principle of shtar chaviyadi my boy? If I still have the shtar, it must be that you didn't pay up. Maybe there's a miut that pay up even if they don't take the shtar. We all like Shmuel, but we don't go after the rove. So that's why we need the shtar to do even more than being a shtar raya. Because we don't go after the rove by mamonis, that's exactly why the tofes, the bal hashtar, it has to be that the shtar talks. So the shtar says, it's not just a rove, but the fact that I have it means you didn't pay. That's the shtar. It's a vadai. It's not just a rove. Me'achasha achshav hari tofes hamalve b'shtar halva v'toin shadayin lo par halov eschovo kol ze kolo be'idus hashtar shelo rak shelova ruvein ela af shadayin lo para. That's part of the edus that the shtar gives. It's not just a rove, because ein holcha b'mamon achar rove, but it's part of the edus that the shtar gives. And it was the raya that Rav Soloveitchik brought that a shtar talks is the Rambam Menuchos Toin V'nitan Perak Dalet Halacha Ches. Lefichach, says the Rambam, shtar sheyesh bo eid echad. What if there's a shtar that has one eid on it? Usually shtars have two eidim. What if there's a shtar that has one eid on it? V'ta'an shepra'o. I bring it, and the other guy says, well, I paid you up already. Harei ze mechuyav shvua. Says the Rambam, that is shvua seid echad. Shvua seid echad, like one of the three shvua daraises. Shvua is as if I have an eid echad against you. Ve'enu yacho lehishavo mishalim. And therefore, it might lead you to say the principle of mitoch. And the Kesef Mishnah wonders, if yafek koach eid echad b'shtar mishnayim bal peh? Klomar, ilu heidu shnayim bal peh sh'ruvein lovem shimon. If two eidim say that Ruvein lent money from Shimon, Shimon could be toin parati. And all of a sudden, if you have one aid b'shtar is mechuyav shvua. Why isn't he believed? So the answer is no, that aid of shvua is as if the person is here. The person is standing here, and it's not paid up yet, like a real aid echad. Again, there's a lot of other rayas, but that's one of the sources that it's related to in the development of Rav Soloveitchik about the Haggadah's Eidah Shevashtar, is this principle of Shmuel, of Ein Holchin B'mamon Achar Harov. And one other principle that has to be mentioned in this sugya, and then we will continue with today's daf, and that is Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim writes in Grach HaLashas, it's quoted in Os Reish Chav Tes. That is, we know, Ein Holchin B'mamon Achar Harov. The kasha then is, what about by a Beis Din? By a Beis Din, Didi Mamonis. Didi Mamonis, we go by a majority, right? Didi Mamonis B'shlosha, first three words of Masechta Sanhedrin, right? I, so how could that be? Or what about a Beis Din of 23, right? Why don't you say the principle of Ein Holchin B'mamon Achar Harov? So Tosus and Baba Kama on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis relates to this question. Tosfos there says, the Gemara there says, in hachal b'mamon acharov. Tosfos asks, Tema, ma tamein hochen, why not? Why don't you go after the, why does Shmuel hold that way? Why do we paskin that way? Lacey b'kavachomer medina nefashis. Shouldn't even be a kavachomer? If we could kill somebody based on rove, shouldn't we at least be able to go after rove for less serious issues? Uma dina nefashis de chamiri, amar achman azob asaruba, dina maman is lakal shakain. V'yafil aruba de lesakamon. We'll get to that, Bez Hashem, a little bit later. Even by a rove that is a statistical rove. Even a rove de lesakamon, azlina medina nefashis basaruba. Tosfos' mentality is that Aruba de Lassa Kamon is a weaker type of rove. We'll have to talk about that at Bez Hashem a little later on the daf. So it says, so why don't you go up to the rove? Tosfos answers, V'yesh lomar, t'hasam gabe dayanim shiny. A rove by judges is different. T'chashiv miyut dithu kemisha eno. Very important Tosfos, Baba Kamach of Zayin of Abbas. The rove by judges is as if the miyut disappears. What does that mean? So Rav Chaim develops his idea of a rov b'dayanim is very, that's not called ein hachal b'mamon achar rov. He says, for example, he says we have a different principle called rubo kakulo. The rov is like kol. Like if you shecht an animal, you have to shecht rov simanim, rov of two simanim. So is that, oh, you holchim b'mamon achar rov? You go after the rov, there's a fight here between the rov and the miut? No, rubo kakulo means that if a majority takes place of an event, so then you treat it as if the entire event took place. Holcha nacharov, let's say an avel, bring that case. He brings another case. Let's say you have a taroves. Holcha, you go after the rove. Holcha nacharov. No, is that the miyut turns into the rove and rubo kakulo, and that's why the taroves is mutter. So he says that's a very different type of rove. There's a rove called rubo kakulo, and there's a rove of holchanach harov, where the miyut does not lose its status. So by dini mamonis, we have the principle of ein holcham mamonach harov, because the miyut does not lose its status, miyut and rove. But by dayanim, and by simanim, and by other contexts, we apply the principle of rove called rubo kakulo. And once we apply rubo kakulo, that's very different than hochin acharov. Eval vaday pshita, says Reb Chaim, tekivan deika gzeres akasiv debeinon kach vekach sanhedrin, vegam din da'achar rabin lahatos. Let's say you have a 21-2 in the Bezdin. So what are you going to say? Hochin acharov? And therefore you paskin mutar or asr, said you only have 21 judges. How could you say hochin acharov by Bezdin? It has to be by Bezdin, the second type of rove, not just Holcha Nachar Rov, but Rubo Kakulo. And Bezdin as a unit comes up with a psak. In the process, there is give and take, and you count up the votes. But at the end of the day, when Bezdin comes out and says, this is what we paskin, the same reason why the Gemara Sanhedrin says, a dayan is not allowed to say, well, they paskin this way, but I paskin this way. You're not allowed to say that. That's not just a practical issue that the parties shouldn't hate the people who paskin against them. But the issue is that Bezdin as a unit comes out with a psak and says, this is what we paskin. And that is Rubo Kakulo. Right? And that answers the question of the granat. Right? The Chaim asked the question of the granat. The granat quotes the question of the Mordechai. Why do we have the whole principle of rove and miut by Sanhedrin? Aren't they kavua? The principle elsewhere of kavua, if something is stationary, and called kavua kamechzal machzadami. Anything that is stationary is considered half and half. So every bezdin, they're sitting down, and a judge has to sit down when he paskins. Why don't we say kamechzal machzah? The answer is, when it comes to bezdin, there are no parts anymore. That's only in the process. But once bezdin comes up with a psak, and they say gmardin, ploniat, ish ploniat tachayv, ish ploniat tazakai, so then that is a unified psak of Bezdin. The sum, there's only one sum. There aren't parts anymore. That's rubo kakulo. So that's a very important, that's in Reb Chaim in Grach HaLashas, based on Tosfos and Baba Kama Daf Chav Zayin, but it has to do with Holchin Acha Harov, the sugya that we are in right now. Okay, those are the two points. Reb Soloveitchik about Edus Shebishtar, and Reb Chaim about Rov Bidayanim. Okay, now let's start four lines from the bottom. Tzadik Beis, Amid Beis. Tashma. So now we're trying to prove Rav or Shmuel. Rav who says Holchin Acha Harov by Mamonis, and Shmuel says Ein Holchin B'Mamon Acha Harov. So Tashma. Hamocher Eved L'Chaveiro. Somebody sells an Eved to their friend. V'nimsa Ganav Kuv Yustis. I sell you an Eved, and it comes out that he's a Ganav, or he's a Kuv Yustis. What's a Kuv Yustis? Rashbam, third to last line, Gonev Nefashos. He's a kidnapper. He's a kidnapper, meaning he's someone who is not just a run-of-the-mill Eved that I have. So he's a ganav or a kidnapper. So maybe am I allowed to say, hey, I didn't want this Eved. I can't handle him. I want my money back. Or the Tosas quotes Rashbam or Rashi, that is according to the Fashos, and he quotes it. It doesn't sound like this Eved from other sugyas is a going to Nefashas. He quotes Rabbi Yochananel, who quotes he is a Mesachi Bekuvia. He's a gambler. He's a gambler. Either way, somebody who cannot be part of the new environment which he's in. So the halacha is Higiyu, tough luck. Tough luck on the buyer. Right? He bought the Eved, he has to live with it. He doesn't get his money back. Higiyu, it has reached him. But list him Mizuyim, but if he is an armed robber, he's not just a petty theft person. He's an armed robber. Listen to Mizuyim. Oh, Muchtav Lamalchus, or he already has been sentenced by the government to die. Either of those cases. So then, Omer Lo, then the buyer can say, Aresha Chalafanecha. Here, take your Ganav back. This is a Mekartos. We've discussed in the past whether Listen to Mizuyim is a Ganav or a Gazlan. This is a discussion in the Rambam and the Ravid in the first parak of Hilchos Ganeva. On the one hand, Listen to Mizuyim, they go in the middle of the day and hold you up, but they wear a ski mask, and they don't want to get caught. So is that a ganav? Is that a gazlan? That's a discussion we had at the end of the sixth parak in Baba Kama, but also in the Rambam and the Ravid. But either way, so whatever he is, so if he is an Eved, so the buyer is allowed to give him back. Say, I can't deal with this armed robber or this guy who is written to be killed. So, says the Gemara, Reisha, my time, why in the Reisha do we say that he cannot give back the Eved if he's just a petty theft person or kubyustis, lav mishum, deruba hachiyisnu? Isn't it because you go after the rove, right? And most avadim are ganovim or kubyustis, and therefore you should have expected it. Raya to rav. Hochon mamarach harov, you should have expected this to be the case, and therefore you can't taina, I want my money back. See the second Rashbam on top. La mishum deruba de avdi hachi isnu ganavim o kubyustasim uladas kain kinoa lokeach. It's as if you bought him with his das, you should have known. Ukemi shekibel alav dami. It's as if you accepted it explicitly. Alma b'mamona azlina basaruba v'kasha l'shmuel. Right, it's kasha l'shmuel because it sounds like from here you go after the rov. Answers the Gemara lo kulu hachi isnu. Right, this isn't just a rove, this is all of them, you have to expect it. It's more than a rove. It's basically all of them, and there's just exceptions to the rule that don't even get to the level of miut. Right, when is something a miut? What if there's 1 out of 100? Would the Gemara also call that rove? So some achronim say 10%. Miut hamatsui is 10%. So less than 10% might not even be called a miut and halacha. So here when the Gemara says, kulhu hachi isnu, that might not, you might find one in a hundred, but so what? 1 in 100 is not halachically negligible that, or noticeable that we have to deal with it. Okay, so Kashan Rav, Kashan Shmuel answered. Tashma. Next we'll try Mishnah in Baba Kama. Shersh Naga Chasapara. Venimsa Ubra Betzida. Remember the case? You have an ox that gores a cow, and the owner of the cow goes to check out the cow. The cow had been pregnant, and now not only is there a dead cow, but there's a dead fetus of a cow next to the cow. And the question is, ve'ena yadua, and it's not known, im achlo nakha yalda, o imisha nakha yalda. I don't know if my ox killed the cow while it was still pregnant, and the cow killed the fetus as well, or maybe my cow gave birth to a dead fetus, and the ox only killed the mother. Didn't kill the fetus. The fetus was dead before. That's the machlokas. And we are talking about a shor tam, a tam that hasn't gored 3 times, and therefore it's only going to pay chatzi nezek. So he's going to pay chatzi nezek for the mother, for the cow. Is he going to pay, is the owner of the ox going to pay chatzi nezek also for the fetus? That's the question, because that's not known. That's not known. Good. And the Rashbam just points out, eni adua means bezdin does not know. The parties feel that they know. But Bezdin does not know. So what's the halacha? So the Mishnah says, Mishalim chatzi nezek lapara. You pay half a nezek for the para, fine. The revia levlad. And you pay a quarter for the vlad. Why? So the Gemara there explains that this is according to the shita of sumchis. Sumchis. Maman amuta basafik chokin. According to the Rabbana, what we paskin generally, we paskin hamotzi mechavera levaraya. That's where the source is, right there. Memvavim abeis. Hamotzi mechavera levaraya. That's where it comes up. But sumchis holds whenever you're not sure, you split it. So here you're not sure. You're not sure whether the halacha is to pay zero, right? If the baby was born before the ox did it, you pay zero. And if it was born beforehand, you'd pay half. So you're not sure what to do, so you pay a quarter. You pay a quarter. That's why you pay a revia for the vlad. So the Gemara says, Yamai. What do you mean? Why don't you go after the rove? Leilma halach acha rove paros. Why don't you go after most cows? Verove paros misabros viyoldos. Most cows do not give birth to stillborns. Most cows give birth to live babies. And therefore it must be that this baby was killed by the ox. Vahavadai mach was the gichi pila. It must be that this baby was killed by the ox. Kasha on rav. Right, you see from here that you don't go after the rove. Says the Gemara, no. Hasa mishum, no. There, even if you want to say that it's the ox's fault, you're not sure how the ox killed. Okay, it's a rove, it's the ox's fault. But you're not sure exactly how the ox killed. Why? Hasa mishum de misafkalon, there's still a doubt. De ikala meimar mikame asa. Maybe the ox came in front of the cow, head on. And as the ox starts walking to the cow starts shaking. The cow's like, oh my gosh, what's going to be? What's going to happen? The ox is coming. And out of fear, it miscarried. And the ox did not touch the fetus. And if that's the case, the ox is putter. That's called grumma b'nizakin. That's grumma. Grumma, we pass, maybe it's usser. Maybe it's usser to cause a hezek through grumma. But, as we discussed in the second parak in Baba Basra, it's all about harchakas nizakin, grumma. But, you don't pay for that. Or maybe the ox came from behind, and the cow never saw what was coming. Umingach nakha, and it gored the cow, vihipila. And that's the suffix. So even if you go after the rove that this cow did not have the baby, we're not sure how the ox killed the fetus. So it's still, havi mamon umutu pasafik, it's still mesupik. V'chala mamon umutu pasafik, Chalkin. So it's still a suffix, even if you go after the rove. So it's not a problem on Rav. Where's the source of the idea that this is a grumma? If the animal would have been scared, so then you don't pay. That's the Gemara Bava Kama. The Gemara Bava Kama says, Daf Nun Vav Amid Aleph, the beginning of Perek HaKones. The Gemara there, yeah? Well, the dog, that's back in lesson earlier. The dog, if you tell a dog to scare a person, this is even by Adam HaMasek. The Gemara at the beginning of Akones has the list of the cases which are Patur Midei Adam and Chayav B'Din Shemayim. So the Gemara there has one case. Hamavis. V'ha'ika, let me just find it. V'ika Hamavis es Chaveiro. What's Mavis? I scare my friend. I go to my friend, I go, boo! Right, I scare him, and because of that, I damage him, and he loses his hearing. He loses his hearing because I make a very loud sound in his eye. Pater midini adam v'chayv dini shemayim. So you see, pater midini adam. Why Rashi says to lo avid be maisa begufo. You're a terrible guy. We're not going to give you after Yonah, but you're not going to be chayv in Ezekin. Hilchas Ezekin, that's called grumma. If you don't touch the person, and therefore it is pater. So to hear, maybe the animal, the ox, only did it bigrama, and therefore it's going to be pater. So how exactly does this work, though, that you use the rove here, and even though you use the rove, you're still going to stole mamon amut basafik? So Tosfos says here, there are two miyuts. If you have two miyuts together, then they are significant. What are the two miyuts? There's the miyuts of cows that have babies stillborn. And then there's the miut of cases that oxen scare cows and don't gore them. That's what Tosfos says in Ikala Meimar. V'smoch miuta de mapilos l'miut de mibiatusa hipila. Right, the miut of stillborns to the miut of animals being scared. V'israel aruba. And if you have two miuts, that can knock out the rove. De rove mis abos v'yoldos. V'amach was a gichi pila v'imechsa mechsa. So it kind of balances out, says Tosfos. The Pnei Yoshua calls this case, I'll find it for you, the Pnei Yoshua in Ksubas Daf Tes, that's where these sugyas, a lot of them are, he calls this case a case of Svek Sveka. Svek Sveka. Maybe the animal miscarried. If the animal didn't miscarry, maybe it was a case of scaring. The tikshula, he says, l'may dekayim lan kishmuel dein hokun b'mamon acha harov. Imken amay kamar sumkaz yachloku. According to the shmuel, you don't follow the rove. Why does sumkaz yachloku? V'havadli svek sveka. Safek kodim shenakla yalta. Maybe it had the baby first beforehand, right? It was a stillborn. V'imtev zalomer l'acha shenakla imar mi'biasusa. Ella al karchach. You know what you see from this Gemara then? It must be that the Mahani svek sveka klal lesumchis. According to Sumchis, svek sveka never works. You always pay. Even in the case of svek sveka. Even though there's a muchzak here. And if that's the case for Sumchis, you learn for the Rabbanan also that you're never motzi mamon besvek sveka. That's the Pnei Yeshua's Raya from our Gemara, that you're never motzi mamon even based on a svek sveka. You learn Sumchis to the Rabbanan. Either way, what's important is that the Pnei Yeshua calls our case a svek sveka. The Shmaitza, in the first Shmaitza, Sheshvayetz Shmaitza Aleph Perachav, he argues. He says, look at Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't call this a svek sveka. Tosfos says there are two miyots here. That's not a svek sveka. Two miyots work differently. The mavur, the hach sveka, the emer kolim shenakha yoldo, the emer biyasusa, hanach tarti, this is one suffix. There's one suffix. The hani tarti miyuta ninu, the rove mis abros viyoldos, there's still a rove that have babies and they're alive, and there are two miyots here. Elevat hani tre miyute mitstarfin lomishvi suffix. Two miyots make it into one suffix. Maybe the cow didn't gore and kill it. But that's not called a svek sveka. You have no raya from this Gemara about whether you motzi mamonai de svek sveka or not. That is the Shmaitza's discussion of the Pnei Yoshua. Good. One other point, and then we will continue. One other point, and that is a Rashba. There's a Rashba in Yevamos that says, does every miyut in the world always uproot a rove? Sometimes, says the Rashba, you could have a miyut that is not shayach to uproot the rove. Maybe you have a miyot, let's say in this case. Hey, you also have a miyot of animals that don't get pregnant. Right? That's also a miyot. A miyot of animals that never get pregnant. Says the Rashba, but we would have said it misvara. You can't apply a miyot just haphazardly if it's not a miyot of this case. You can't apply a miyot of eno misabros to a case where the animal's pregnant. You can't, that type of miyut doesn't apply, says the Rashba in Yevamos Kuf Yates. V'yod yesh li lomar, the shiny high miyuta dahacha mishum the high miyuta mara harov mamish. You can only use a miyut that weakens the rove itself. Umin harov atamisalko, a miyut that comes from the rove. Like here, the animal's pregnant. Some pregnancies, there are stillborns. Some cases of animals being killed are come from being scared. Klomar may also chelik hamaruba shemis abros yish miksasa shemapilos. It doesn't uproot it. So he says, in that case, like a miyut, so you always have to know how to define a miyut when we say it uproots the rove and when we say it doesn't. Okay, period. Lema katanoi. Let's say this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is a machlokas tanoim. Shor shaya roev, and imsa shahar bitzido. There's an ox that's grazing in a field, and there is a dead ox right next to it. Dead ox right next to it. Afa pisha zemenugach vezemu aligach. Even though the animal is dead and has horn marks on it, and this animal that's walking around is a muad. To gore, zemenushach v'zemu alishach, or this animal is bitten, and this animal is a mua to bite. I don't know if you would add, and he has blood on his teeth. I don't know if you go that far, that might be different, but at least we know he's a muad lisho. Ein omrim, even so, and it looks like such circumstantial evidence, ein omrim biyadua shezen nachov zen ashcho, you don't say that it must be that this ox A gored ox B. You don't say that. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yacha says, no. You do. You even say the following. Gomel ha'ocher ben agmalim, v'nimsa gomel har biyado. Let's say they have two animals that are mating. Ocher from the word achor. Animals, the Rashbam explains, when they mate, they go backwards to each other. So gamal achor ben agmalim, and you find another camel that's lying dead. So can we assume that the two animals that were involved in the mating, you know, they just trampled, they didn't see what they were doing, and they killed the other camel? Yes, biyadua sheze harago. You're allowed to, even in that case. That's the Rashbam. Not only in the case of a muad ligach, but even in this case of mating where it wasn't even focused on purpose. So savrua deruba v'chazaka ki adadinenu. So let's assume that rove that Rav Shmuel are arguing about, and this chazaka muad ligach is the same. And lema Rav damar k'ravacha, Shmuel damar k'tanakama. Rav goes after the rove, holds like Ravacha here, who says you go by stama. The animals killed this other one, and Shmuel says you don't go after the rove. Also, does not go after the the chazaka. There are cases. I just mentioned the Bach says this. Some cases, the if there's an umdana demuchach, if it's so obvious, so then maybe we would. Like I mentioned before, what if the animal has blood dripping from its horns and you see the horn marks freshly done? So maybe there, even the Tanakhama would agree that we would accept, right? Because generally, Me'ikar Adin, we paskin, the Rambam paskins, and Nichols Niskei Mamon, that we paskin like the Tanakhama. You don't paskin based on umdana. You see the two oxen in the field, Afal Pisha Zemenugach, Zemenudigach, Zemenushach, etc. Ein Omrin Biyadua Shezeharago, Ache Yeruhu Edim Ksherim. Until Edim Ksherim testify. And if you look though in the Bach, he discusses this Rambam and others, and he says, Ein kavana, sometimes you could go elo the kima the ashkan tana the azlbasar umdana abagabdullah hilchaza kavase mikomakom but umdana the muchacha tuva mode aftanakama dazinabasar umdana. Sometimes you have cases which are so obvious that you would go after the umdana even according to the Tanakama. So, like the case, if you have blood dripping down from the horn, that might be good enough. Okay, either way, so let's say, is this the machlokas tanoim? Rav and Shmuel have this machlokas between Ravach and the Tanakama? The Gemara says no. They each could go according to each other. Rav would say, "Anata Amri Filu Tanakama." Rav would say, "No, I can even fit in according to the Tanakama." When does the Tanakama say that you don't go after Chazaka? That's only by Chazaka. Chazaka is not as strong. But if you go after the Rov, Ruba Vachazaka, Ruba Adif. Right, we know Rov beats Chazaka. We'll get to it again, but I'll mention it now. Why does Rov beat Chazaka? We mentioned that Rov might be a birur, while Chazaka might just be a hachra'ah. By Chazaka, do you know for sure that this animal gored this one? No. But by Chazaka, that's the rule. You don't know what to do, so you go by Chazaka. Rov might be, we'll get to it more in detail in a few minutes, Rov might be a birur. It clarifies what happened. This is what happened, based on the Rov. So Rov beats Chazaka, Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adif. So that's why Rav says, Tanakamo doesn't go after Chazaka, but he'd go after Rov. For Shmuel, Amar L'chan, Shmuel would say the opposite. Anad Amar Yafilu Ravacha. Shmuel would say, I can even fit into according to Ravacha. Ad Kalan Kamar Ravacha Hasam. Why over there does Ravacha go after the Chazaka? Why? Ela Dazlina Basa Chazaka. To who Gufei Mochzak. There, it's better, it's stronger, because you have this animal that's right there. That's why that's a very strong chazaka. It's a chazaka of this goof that did the damage. Avabasa ruba lo azlina. But by a rove, you don't go. What does this mean? But by a rove, the Rashbam adds in, about halfway down in the Rashbam, he uses the phrase, aval, last few words on the line, avabasa ruba delesa kaman lo azlina. By a rove that is not in front of us, we don't go. Ruba de lesa kaman. So let's talk for a moment about this principle. Ruba de lesa kaman and ruba de isa kaman. There are two types of roves. There's ruba de lesa kaman. That's a what we call a statistical rove. Most women in the world give birth to live babies. Most women in the world give birth after 9 months. That's a statistical rove. You don't have the women in front of you saying, oh, you count them up. If you have a piece of meat on the floor, and in this town there are 10 butcher shops, 9 kosher, 1 not kosher, that's a ruba de isa kaman. That's a rove that's in front. Which is a stronger rove, would you say, logically? A ruba de isa kaman or lesa kaman? What would you say? You would say isa kaman. Why? Because you see in front of you. You see mamish in front of you. You see these 9. But you also see the meat in front of you. So you also see the meat in front of you. On the one hand, it's right in front of you, so you might see Aruba de Isa Kaman. On the other hand, Aruba de Lesa Kaman is tested, experienced, and statistically proven. So on the other hand, you might say, there are millions of people this has happened to. So which is it? So if you look in the Rishonim, there are different tendencies, which one seems to be stronger. But if you look at the source for Rov, where's the source for Rov? How do you know you go after the Rov? It's Gemara in Chul and Daf Yud Aleph in the first parak. You go after the Rov. The Gemara says, "Minohai milso damar rabban and zul basaruba." How do you know you go after the Rov? The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishpatim, "Acharei rabim lahatos." You follow the majority, acharei rabim lahatos. So the Gemara then says, "Ruba de isa kamon kugon tes chanuyos v'sanhedrin lokum yibayvon." No. I know by a ruba de isa kamon. Right, that works by Sanhedrin. Kikami boyulon ruba de lesa kamon. Have you even know you go after a rove by ruba de lesa kamon? So the Gemara's mentality seems to be that ruba de lesa kamon is a bigger chiddush. Right? Because I know for Rebbe the Isa Kamon. How do you know Rebbe the Lassa Kamon? So it sounds like it's a bigger chiddush. That is a discussion. So at the end, if there's time, we'll talk about a stira in the Rambam about Rebbe the Isa Kamon and Rebbe the Lassa Kamon. But just to say over one thought from some of the lumdis of the Achronim, Rav Shimon Shkop and Shar Yosher writes that maybe Rebbe the Lassa Kamon and Rebbe the Lassa Kamon, it's not that one is stronger and one is weaker, but they're just different. They work differently. Says the Shar Yosher and Shar Gimel. De Beruba de Lassa Kamon, Ein Mitzius Lefaneinu, Likrom Hetero Isser. By Ruba de Lassa Kamon, right, we don't know if this woman, right, let's say, there's a woman who got married right after she got divorced, and she didn't wait the 3 months of Avchana, and then she had a baby 7 months later. So do we assume it's the baby of the nine months of the first husband, or 7 months of the second husband? Right? So if you go up to the Rove, Ruba de Lassa Kamon is from the first husband. So is there a Mitzius in front of us? The Rove? No. Rak shikul hadas al mitzius shehu api mikrim hayoser shchichim v'regilim. The Rove ze eno nilmad mikra ze shal dayanim desham eno mitam birur. The Ruba de Lassa Kamon hu mitam birur. What does birur mean? Birur means, based on statistics in life, this is what occurred. That's what we are allowed to assume. Ulefiza shnei inyani rov elu nefradim heim. But there is two very different types of rovs. Ruba de isa kaman. What if they're in front of us? Do we know for sure this came from the nine butcher shops and not from the other one? We don't know for sure. We don't. But that's called a hachra. Ruba de isa kaman is a hachra. Eno mevarer es hametzius klum. V'nishar asafik. Kamo b'mechza al mechza. Rak le'idin hachra es hadin. Mahani rov ze kamo b'dayanim. Ruba de lesa kamanu inyin biru levarer ula hachri es hametzius sha'am retor lanu lismoch al biru ze. Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. So, that's Rav Shimon Shkop. Ruba de isa kaman al lesa kaman. One is a birur, Ruba de lesa kaman. And one is a hachra, Ruba de isa kaman. So which is stronger? So again, you might say, hey, birur is a greater clarity, but on the other hand, hachra, even though you don't know, the Torah still tells you what to do. You still have it based on it, even though it's a suffix. So it's not that stronger or, not stronger or weaker. Okay, that's Rav Shimon. And again, if we have time, we'll come back to a problem in a Rambam at the end that's answered based on this Rav Shimon. Okay, but first let us continue. Full lines from the bottom. Tashma, still going back to trying to prove Rav Shmuel. Hamocha beres lachaveiros. We quote our Mishnah. That's why this is all here, because of this. Hamocha beres lachaveiros. I sell fruit to my friend. Vizaram. And instead of eating them, like many people buy fruit for, he takes it and plants it in the ground. I bought an apple to plant an apple tree. So, below tzamchon, it didn't work. Right? The apple tree didn't catch. V'afilu zara pishtan, even if he sold him flax seeds, Eino chai b'achriyusan. The seller is not responsible. Not responsible. Maya filu. What does it mean? Even flax seeds. Lava filu zera pishton. Even if he's selling flax seeds, derubal is zriya zavni. Most people buy it for zriya, and still we say afilu achilu azlina basaruba. Still you say you don't go after the rove. Raya to Shmuel. Ein hochen b'mamunach harov. Kashan rav. So Gemara answers, Tanoihi. It really is a machlokas Tanoim. So what that our Mishnah is like Shmuel, Rav has another source. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Hamokha Bears the Khaver Bizarn Velot Samchu. If you sell the fruit to your friend and they didn't catch after they're planted, Zerone Gina Sheinecholin, or if you sold him non-edible seeds that are for sure planted, Chai Bachriusan. That is Chai Bachrayas, meaning it's totally his fault. Zera, the seller's fault. Zera, pishton, zera, pishton, eno chai b'achriyusan. Zera, pishton, if somebody planted, somebody sold flax seeds, eno chai b'achriyusan. He's not chai b'achrayus. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, no sin lo d'me zera. Right? You gotta pay him for the zera. Why? Because most pishton in the world is nizra. And therefore, the seller should have assumed that the guy was buying it to plant. And therefore, if it doesn't plant, it's his fault. Amru lo, they said back to Rabbi Yossi, Harbe lochanos l'dvar macherim. What do you mean? A lot of people buy seed for other purposes. Right, the second line of the Rashbam. Einachai bechri yuso, shahar b'ni adam lochin l'dvar macherim. L'ma'achal ulerefua. Right, for food and for medicine. Ukineged adam echad shekana yutzal azriya. Fine, one person buys a lot. There are 100 people that buy it for other purposes. So that's a machlokas tanoim. So the Gemara just clarifies. Mantanoi. There are three shitas here in the Brisa. Who is the, how do they line up? The machlokas. Remember the first opinion said if you sell, zeroni gina, which are inedible, then chai bachrayis. Everybody agrees to that. Cause that's for sure. Nobody buys that to eat. But then you have the Tanakama who says, continues and says, zera pishtun, you're not chai bachrayis. Rabbi Yossi says you are. And then the amrulo opinion also says, many people buy a l'drama achirim, so you shouldn't be responsible. So mantanoi, ilim Rabbi Yossi ba'amrulo, is it the second and third opinion? So Gemara says, no, travayo basaruba azli, both of those shitas go by the rove. Second and third opinion is just what rove do you look at? What's your population? Mar azo basaruba de inshi, the amrulo, you go by most people. You don't look at the volume of zera. You look at people. More people buy zera pishtun for other reasons than for planting. Some buy it for eating, some buy it for medicine, some buy it for other things. So that's the rule if you go by. Umarsav azal basaruba dezria. And the other, the Rabbi Yossi goes by, no, but the farmers buy the most seed. Even though more people buy it, but you go by the rove of the seed. So that the last two opinions both go after the rove. So Ella itanakama verbiosi itanakama v'amrulo. You're right. So it's the Tanakama with one of the other opinions. That's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Period. Next, Tanur Rabana Mauno Sein Lo. So let's say it's a case where you are responsible to pay back. So what do you pay back? You gave him the seed. It was a problem. So what do you have to pay back? So Mauno Sein Lo. So to me Zera v'lohotza. Tanakama says you only have to pay the amount. You give the money back. But you don't have to pay for all the expenses that he went through planting it in his field. Sorry, that's called grumma. That's called grumma, says the Rashbam, and therefore you are not responsible. The yesh omrim af hotza'a. And some say you even have to pay for the hotza'a, for the expenses. You have to pay the expenses. Why? The Rashbam says knas. V'nir b'einai de knasahu. It's a knas drabanan. The Rashba here says, this is not a knas according to the Shita. It's garmi. Oh, garmi. So, we know there are three types of ways to damage somebody in life. Right? None of them are good. But there are three ways to damage people. I could either go over to your car and smash your headlight. That's called Maisa Yashir. That's a direct act I'm chayiv. That's nezek. Then there's what's called grumma. Grumma I am putter for. That is, we had it back in the second parak. I put my ladder in my backyard next to your field. I forget it there. So my dog jumps on the ladder, is able to jump into your field and eat your produce. So did I damage you? No, but I caught the grumma. So I shouldn't have done that. That's what the Mishnah said back in the second parak. But that's grumma on putter. Grumma your putter, maisa yashir your chayev. And then we have in the middle, we have garmi. Garmi is a direct act, but there's something lacking. The case the Gemara gives in Baba Kama is, you have a shtar that says Reuven owes you 100 shkalim, 100 bucks, and I burn your shtar. I burn your shtar. So did I burn your property? I have to pay for the piece of paper. But I caused you damage in a very direct way, but it was indirect. That's an example of garmi. I burn your shtar. Or I sell you a loan that I am owed, and then I'm mochel the loan. Case of garmi. So we're mayor, we pass like Rabbi Meir. Don Dina de Garmi, we pass in Nir Yechayev too. Garmi. What's fascinating is many discussions in the Rishonim, when is something Garmi, when is something Grumma? So right here, the Rashbam obviously thinks this is not a case of Garmi. He says it's a Knas. It's a Knas, what do you mean? I sold you the seed, and then you use the seed to plant. I don't have to pay the expenses. That's Grumma. I have nothing to do with your expenses. Says the Rashba, no. That's Garmi. You be Chayev Daraisa. Chayev Daraisa for that, so this is one example of a machlokas between Grumma and Garmi. I'll just give you one other example, because again, all the Rishonim struggle with this. The Ramban wrote a whole separate Sefer, Kuntras Dina de Garmi. All the cases of Garmi and Grumma, it's an amazing work. So you look through it, and he talks about every single case in Shas. Whether it's a case of Grumma, whether it's a case of Garmi. So there's a machlokas about a case of Hayodeya Edus Lechaveiro. Let's say somebody knows, I know testimony for you, and I don't testify. Right? I know that Reuven owes you $1 million. I don't testify. So if I'm only one aid, if I'm two aidim, that's a nisa daraisa. That's shuas aidus. That's a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra. You have to testify. But let's say I'm only one aid. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Hakones, in the sixth parak of Baba Kama, you're patim yidini adam. Ask the Ramban, why isn't that garmi? Right? I'm causing you a loss of $1 million. So the Me'iri says, you know why that's Garmi? Because Garmi requires you to cause a person a loss, not to prevent the person from getting a profit. And this guy doesn't have the money right now. So it's prevention. It's not damage. That's what the Me'iri says in Baba Kama Daf Nun Vav. So what's his yesod? Garmi requires a positive action of causing a loss. The Ramban says, you know why it's not Garmi? Because at root, testifying on somebody's behalf is based on Gemilas Chesed. The mitzvah of Gemilas Chesed. And Beis Din never obligates you to do Chesed. No, you do Chesed because you want to do Chesed. That's at root. Testifying for somebody, the time of the milsa, sha'af, this is in the country scene of the army. Sha'afu eino chayv lahoid lo elo midin gimilas chasadim, which is a chiddush. Sha'chayva Torah lahoid. Vim lo rasa lakayim osa mitzvah, ein minadin lachayvo mamon. Right? That's different. So, really, according to the Ramban, it seems like even preventing a prophet could be garmi. But there's a different reason why you're pater here. You're pater because that root, chi of edus, on the behalf of somebody is gemilas chesed. So again, that's another machlokas. But again, there are many machlokas throughout Shas. When is something garmi? When is something grama? The Ritva doesn't think this is a case of garmi, not because misvara. He quotes his Rebbe the Rashba, but he says, the Gemara would have said it. The Gemara would have said, it's Rabbi Meir who's done deed into garmi. But the Gemara didn't say it, so it must be something else. Okay, that is the Rashba right here, brings up garmi. So, but let's go back. So the Brisa says, you have to pay the zera, or you even have to pay the expenses. So man yesh omrim, who is this yesh omrim that says you have to pay the expenses? So the Ritva says, if it's garmi, you should have quoted Rabbi Meir. Right, so it didn't call Rabbi Meir, who's done deed into garmi. So that's why he thinks the Rashbam is right. So Amar Rav Chizda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Hey Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are we talking about? Are we talking about the Rashbag of our Mishnah, Ditznan, our Mishnah? I'm okay, Berzach, I've ever heard of some chuf, I sell a fruit to my friend, and they didn't take root. I feel as there a pishton, even flaxseed, ain't no chaybach ryusan, I'm not chaybach rayas. Why? Because some people buy this to eat, not to plant, and I'm not responsible. Aim a seifa, and then if you read this next line of the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Zero Negina Shein Ne'acholin, Chayev Achar Yusan. Rav Shimon Gamliel says in our Mishnah that seeds that are not edible, you are Chayev Achar Yus, because everybody buys those to plant. So maybe that's the Rashbag. That's what Rav Shimon Gamliel that holds, you even have to pay for the expenses. So the Gemara says, Tanakam Manami Achikamer. There's no machlokas in that Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel is just adding on. Zera Pishtan, even the Tanakama says, Zera Pishtan who de'enu chayabach reyusan, ha zero negina she'enu nachalim chayabach reyusan. So if you have a misora, Rav Chisda has a misora, that this Yesh Omrim is Rashbag, it can't be our Rashbag, because the Tanakama also agrees to him. So elalav, hotzai gemenayu. It must be that the Machlokas in the Mishnah is not about Zerone Pishtagina, because everybody would agree to that. So what's the Machlokas? We assume there is a machlokes. It must be about the hotzah, even though it says nothing about the hotzah in the Mishnah. They must be arguing about something, so it must be about the expenses. Mar savar, t'mei zera, mar savar af hotzah. So Gemara says, and Reb Shimon Gamliel is the one that is machmir. So the Gemara says, mimai dil ma'ifcha. What do you mean? Maybe it's just the opposite. So you don't have your rashbag. So Gemara says, no, halo kasha. That's not a problem. Kol tana basro l'tfuye milsa ka'asi. A second opinion always comes to add on. So the Tanakama must be holding, you only pay for the Zera. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you even pay for the expenses. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Vidimah kula Shimon Gamliel hi. Maybe there's no machlokas here at all. Maybe the whole sheet, the whole Mishnah, after all, there's no hint in the Mishnah of expenses. Machlokas about that. Maybe the whole Mishnah is really one opinion. The Chisura Mechsura Vahachikton, this is how the Mishnah should read. Hamokha bears the Chaber of Azaran Velot Samchu, Afilu Zera Pishnan, Eino Chayabach Ryusan. You're not Chayabach Rayas. Divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel. Sherab Shimon Gamliel Omer, Zero Negina, Sheina Nechon, Chayabach Ryusan. So our Mishnah cannot be the Rav Shimon Gamliel that's the Chayab on expenses. It says nothing about it. So Ella Harab Shimon Gamliel. So you're right, it must be the following of Shimon Gamliel. Did Tanya, who says in a Brisa, in a Tosefta, Hamolech Chitin Litchon Velo Lissasan. Let's say I gave wheat to someone, to a grinder, to a mill. I gave it to a mill, and they are supposed to moisten the grain, the meat, the wheat, before they grind it. But they didn't, and therefore it turned out bad. Vasan Subana Morsan. I gave them the wheat, and they made it into bad grain. Kaimach Lenachtom, or I gave flour to a baker. Va'afo Pasi Folin, and he used it, and he made bread that falls apart. Or Behema Latavach, I gave an animal to a butcher. V'nivla, and he shechted it, he didn't shecht it properly. Chayiv, Mibnei Shukanos, he's Sachar. In all those cases, the person who took it is Chayiv. Because he's like a Shomer Sachar. He gets benefit, he's getting paid. And therefore, he's Chayiv. This is at least Karov Le, karov le'pshia. So therefore, one would be chayiv. Reb Shimon Gamliel omer, no sin lo dumei boshto udumei boshes archav. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, he's got to pay for it. Not only do you have to pay for the item, you have to pay for the embarrassment of not having the item ready. So you see, Reb Shimon Gamliel obligates even indirect payments. So that's the Reb Shimon Gamliel that would make you chayiv even on the expenses. Finishing up, V'chein hayah Reb Shimon Gamliel omer, he also says, minha gadol hayah b'Yerushalayim. It was a great custom. Ha-Moses who did the chadeo v'kilkala, if I hired a caterer and he messed up and he served all bad food and nobody liked it, notes the Dmei Boshev, Dmei Boshev Orchav. Not only do I not have to pay him, he's got to pay me for the embarrassment. Oh, that's a great minug. Oh, minug gadol hayah b'Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, minug gadol. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's the Gemara says it's a great minug. Oh, minug gadol hayah b'Yerushalayim. There was also another great minug. Mapa prusa agabia pesach. The people always had sheets at their doorways. Sheets at their doorways. Covering up the doorway. Called macha mapa prusa orchen nechnasin. When the sheet was across, was parus, then guests came in. Why, when the sheet was taken off and just the door was closed, ein arachin isachin, then they didn't come in. They always knew that they were invited in, and the door was open when the sheet was spread out. The Marsha says, because of the line in Psachim, pores mapa umakadesh. So paras, when something is spread out, then you know there's a meal going on, and you are invited in. So people should always know when the door is open to come in for a meal, when the door is not open. We shown him here talk about in this case of giving the item to the butcher or to the mill. Do you actually have to be paying him to be considered a shomer sachar? What if you're just allowing him to make the bracha? Is that good enough? Because we know there's a concept, a mitzvah. He's allowing you to do the mitzvah, you to take the bracha. You steal a mitzvah from somebody, you have to pay him. You zehuv him. So there's a ksos, maybe we'll mention it at the beginning of tomorrow's shir, the ksos and Simon Shinvah that discusses, is that enough of a payment? Do you have to actually be paying him to be considered a shomer sachar? Or maybe just allowing him to do the mitzvah of afrashas chala, of shchita, maybe that itself is enough of a payment to make him a shomer sachar. Okay, either way, we'll stop here, and then Hashem, we will continue.